Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
My name is Matt, and Happy New Year. Oh, can I get more excited about a new year than that? Yay. You all survived your New Year's parties? Somewhat, some of you struggling still? No. Can you stand with me as we read from God's Word, please? Sometimes I like to stand as we read God's Word because it deserves this kind of attention, doesn't it? Sometimes we just read the Bible like while you're doing just the mundane things of the day, but I think God's word deserves some extra attention because it is God's word, it's life to us. So let me read to you a couple verses from Psalms 84. Psalm 84, starting in verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Verse 4, blessed are those who will dwell in your house and ever sing in your praise. Verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Think about that. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold. Someone say amen to that. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And God, we come to you this morning to not just dwell, but to be influenced by your presence. And God, we recognize that you are a good, good Father, and you do not withhold any good thing from us as we seek you, God. So God, whatever the posturing is of our hearts today, we say, have your way. And man, every Sunday, I know that some of us leap into church and some of us crawl. And so whatever the posturing of our life may be, we come to seek you. And God, we know that as we seek you, we will find you when we search for you with all of our hearts. So God, would you come and would your word do the transformation that only your word can do? That it would dissect, that it would cure, it would give hope, it would remove, it would heal. And God, we thank you that your word has authority. And we claim that authority over our lives, over every broken, desperate part. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
And everyone said?
Amen.
I just like to steal things that Sarah does. That's what Sarah does. Well, welcome to the first Sunday of 2018. You survived 2017. I was thinking about my last year. I think all of us kind of do a little bit of inventory about what your last year looked like. And I was taking a little bit of inventory about what last year at this time looked like for me. I had slightly more hair. That was one thing that was different from a year ago. But a year ago, Grace would have been 6 months pregnant with little Mabel. And so if anybody knows what it feels like to have a year go by, it's Grace and I, we have seen this pregnant belly turn into a flat belly, and we have seen this new child emerge, the six-pack. She has traded in the baby bump for the six-pack. It's actually, honestly, I counted 8 the last time she flexed. So swole. So swole. Just tons of cardio, low carbs. She just does that. We have now this 9-month-old little baby, and she's saying things like, Dada, I know. If anything will make you leap to activity, it's your child saying, Dada. She's also the mama. She's saying that sometimes out of obligation. She says, Mama. She's got basically her whole repertoire is Baba, which is bottle, Mama, and Dada. And I'm okay with that because when Polly talks, she has a much... lengthier vocabulary that she likes to exercise. So, listen to these words. I want to begin 2018 where I want to end 2018. At the altar of Jesus. Okay? I want to begin my 2018 right where I want to end it, right at the altar. That sounds like some very cryptic language. I mean, when you think of an altar, you probably think of a burning sacrifice. That's not pleasant. What I'm standing on for some of us represents the altar. If you've been raised in church, you have had the experience of having some altar time. Anybody? You've responded to an altar call. You were an altar boy. I'm looking at you over there. I know you were an altar boy. So altar has all these different kind of meanings to it. But some of my most profound moments with God have been in altar opportunities where I've responded, whatever it was, to the altar, and I've come forward. And in that minute, I have just met God in the most transformative ways. And when I think about the cycles of my life, all the ups and downs, those altar moments were transformative for sure. That humbling moment of getting up out of your seat and coming forward to the altar, very humbling, right? I don't know if you deal with insecurity, but hello, I do. I remember not wanting to respond to anything in church for fear of what people thought I might be responding to. Anybody else? Okay, I'll describe more because I must be the only one. I remember not wanting to respond to the altar ministry time because I didn't want people to know what my issues were. So I'd be like, no, I'm not going to go up. I don't want anyone to know. It's not like, how may I pray for you and let everyone know all my garbage, but I didn't want to respond. But I can tell you those times when I was brave, those times when I did look past what other people might think, and I reluctantly but obediently came forward to the altar, Jesus has met me right in this area. So I want to start 2018 right here because I'm purposing in my heart that I'm going to end this year right back here, right back at the altar. Altars and memorials in the Old Testament, they were distinct moments in history where God did something miraculous, where God made a promise, where God intervened, where God was victorious. It's the new year, so a lot of us have started up brand new Bible reading plans. Good for you. And a lot of people, when they start reading the Bible, start reading in Genesis, and you'll make it to Leviticus and get very frustrated. But if you can read Genesis and Exodus and get to Leviticus, you'll see a common theme through Genesis and Exodus. You'll see the fact that God's people move, God does something miraculous, and oftentimes the response to the activities of God is they stop and they build an altar. They just, something tremendous would happen and they stop what they're doing and they build an altar. And not only do they make sacrifices on the altar, because they do that, but sometimes they just build a pile of rocks just to build a pile of rocks. And it doesn't give us any more description than that. So an altar in the Old Testament was this place where you celebrated something God promised, something God did, or a victory that was had. That's what an altar is. So when we come to the altar, that's the kind of stuff we're celebrating. We're celebrating his past faithfulness and his future promises. Those are good reasons to come to the altar. If you can't think of a good reason to run to the altar, I know you well enough. I will let you know what the good reasons are. For some of you, the fact that you're still breathing is a good enough reason that God is good and you deserve to run to the altar. And for some of you, I know you, and I know the good things that God has planted in your life that you haven't seen come to fruition yet. And for those reasons, I celebrate with you too, that God has something miraculous planted like a seed, and it hasn't sprouted yet, but it's there, and it's lying dormant, and we're going to give it time, we're going to feed it, and we're going to see God grow something amazing in your life. That's a reason to come to the altar too. So altars weren't just places where people came to sacrifice, but there are places where people came to reflect and to get hope. Noah built an altar, so did Abraham. Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, and Moses all built altars or memorials. And an altar, it was just a pile of rocks. And it could be, as the Old Testament plays itself out, we see these altars take more shape. They have horns on them. It looks like a pile of grapes, doesn't it? But that's actually an altar, specifically at scale. That's an altar. It doesn't look all that amazing. It doesn't look like art. I tell you, the significance behind the motivation to building an altar, that's what's significant. Look at a kid's art.
It's not great. But know what's beautiful about it? The intentions behind the author. So when you look at and you think about the altars of the Old Testament, a pile of rocks, it's a pile of rocks. But what came behind it? What was the motivation to create that? It was because God did something significant. God did something great. Now, if you were to walk around in Bible times and with your cool sandals on, you would see a pile of rocks. And it would be a reminder to you. Just like the monuments of our world that we live in, they're reminders of something. If you were to walk around and see a pile of rocks, this is what you'd think. Someone built an altar there. That person believed that their God showed up. I tell you, when people tell me stories of when God showed up in their lives, I'm filled with hope and expectation that God's going to do the same for me. So imagine walking around through Bible times, dinosaurs around, I don't know, and you see a pile of rocks, you would say, somebody's God showed up. And I want to experience that too. We also see in the Bible that monuments and memorials are built to give a good answer to your future generations. To see in Joshua that he piles up the rocks after crossing the Jordan. He sends 12 of the leaders in to bring rocks out of the Jordan and to make a monument so that generations to come would be walking around. They'd see this pile of weird rounded rocks where there were no other rounded rocks. And they would say, what is that all about? And the recommendation from the Lord was, when your kids see this, you tell them that your God is good. Yeah. There's proof right there. Those are rounded rocks from the water, that God did something miraculous. Yeah. And what a great opportunity to share your faith with your kids. Can we go a little more personal? Have you lived your life in such a way that there's some memorials you're building that you can point your kids, point your neighbors, point your friends to them? Have you done the hard work of being a little bit more introspective than usual and saying, God, what are the moments you've showed up in my life? Because I want to build a monument to that. Now, you're not going to build a monument in your front yard. That'll be weird. But somewhere in your spirit, are you saying, I've got markers through my life that God has been faithful? Have you thought that far back? Like maybe your life could be this wandering journey of altar building moments. Am I getting too heavy? Because I tell you what, your life is either going to be a journey of altar building moments or altar destroying moments. I know. So we intentionally start this year, 2018, we start it at the altar because this is where I want to finish my year. And for me, I want to finish it right at this altar, not some other place. You're stuck. One commentary I read, it said this. It said, altars were places where the divine and human world intersected. Altars were places where the divine and human world intersected. So let me give you a really quick picture of what that looks like. Interacted. Again, excellence. With this motion, which I don't know what it means. But again, for the sake of excellence, we have the divine world, and then we have the human world, and altars were moments where the two interacted. I'm getting better. So these altar moments were moments where these two worlds interacted, where there was an overlap. This is what it looked like in the Old Testament. You would live your life and God would intervene. And that was an altar building moment. That was a moment when God showed up, when your life and God's life overlapped. And that was a significant moment. You can only have an altar building, memorial building life when your life and God's life overlap, not when they're separate. Right? Because tell you what, when that happens, you'll build altars and you'll build memorials and they'll be to your glory, not his. See, when you are living your life in such a way that God's life and your life overlap, you are building monuments, you are building altars, you are building memorials, and God is being glorified. When you are building void of the presence of God, you're building a monument unto yourself. Ask the people in Babel how that worked out. That's in the Bible too. In Bible college, I had really weird friends. I mean, you attract who you are. And I had some friends, and for some reason, towards the end of our year, we decided to build a time capsule. So anyways, we bought this pipe. I didn't go buy the pipe because it looks like we're buying, like trying to build our own homemade pipe bomb. But we bought this big cylinder and two caps on the end. And we threw all these trinkets in from Bible college. So it was, I don't know, we put like letters and stuff. And Brian Chud was one of my friends. And we, she knows Brian, you know Brian. We put all these things in there. We closed it up and then we buried it on the campus. And we said, in 10 years, we're gonna dig it up and check it out. So we were super excited. We built this thing, cranked it all together, buried it. Now, you know, because my friends aren't sharp, we kind of eyeballed where we put it, you know? We said, hey, it's about there, and it's about there. And it was really hard to find. Really, really hard to find. Because after 10 years, you're not as sharp as you were. And I was actually out of the country when they decided to dig it up. All my buddies were there. They videoed me in, right? And so the plot of land where the capsule was buried, it looked like Swiss cheese because they went out really late at night. They went out late because it was on the campus and they don't really like you digging up the campus. So they had shovels, little headlamps, you know. I can totally picture, you know, us doing this same thing. And they're digging it up and finally they find this capsule and they pull it up and this reminder of what was. And we had stories, we had trinkets, we had weird things we collected. Such weird group of friends. I still attract weird friends. No offense. Offense. And they open up. They're so excited. They're anticipating because we all forgot what we put in there. And so they're slowly and someone's doing commentary. They open this thing up. And as soon as they open it up, just this horrible smell comes out of it. Just this putrid smell. And I see it and it's just dark and I don't know what's going on. They're like, ooh. And someone put a banana in there. My friends aren't perfect. I obviously thought it was like an airtight seal. You know, this banana would just be like, perfect, edible. But everything was ruined inside of our little can. You know, it was all just acid. It just destroyed stuff. So what kind of legacy are you planting? See how I did that? What kind of legacy are you planting? What kind of things are you planting that you want to harvest later? Yeah. I just say stuff and you think. That's all I do. When God and humanity interact, it's always an altar-worthy moment. And when I think about my spiritual journey, because I've been a Christian for about 20 years, when I think about my spiritual journey, it hasn't been perfect. It hasn't been without its issues. I don't know if anybody else can say that, but my life with God hasn't been everything that I had dreamt it would be. This is what I anticipated my life with Jesus would look like, that in a point in time that my life would just become better and just always get better and better and better. But here's a better picture of my spiritual journey. My life started here and it did get better and then it got worse and then it went like this and then there were ups and downs and that's a better picture of my walk with God. There's been some great moments and some really disastrous moments. There's been moments of faithfulness and moments of not faithfulness. There's been moments of greatness and moments of just shame, right? But when I look back at my life, that was an altar building moment for sure. That was an altar building moment for sure. That was an altar building moment. That was, and this one is right here. See, if you don't take inventory of the good times that God's life and your life have interacted and that has been an altar worthy moment, you don't get to enjoy the celebrations of the good times that you have. Because when I look back and I have these low moments where life is just like, we just lost a baby. We lost this job. This thing just happened. I just sinned in this way. And you feel so desperate. If you're one of those people that is being aware and you're building memorials, celebrating God's faithfulness, you can look back and say, yeah, this is a mess, but God has always been faithful. And because I know he's been faithful, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to trust him that the next altar building moment is right around the corner. If I do not get tired, if I do not get weary, if I keep on going on, God is going to be faithful again. Yes. Can you think of 2 to 3 altar-worthy moments in your life? Yeah, you can think of a couple of them, right? Moments of God's faithfulness, moments where God and your life overlapped in a really profound way. You can think of a couple of them? Maybe you got a new job, or you may be thinking for your health or your finances or your family or new friends, whatever it may be. I think all of us can look back at our lives and say, I can identify moments where God was God and he showed up and did the miraculous. And my faith is dependent on my ability to celebrate those things, because what you celebrate, you repeat. Should I say that again? Because this side said one amen. But it's true. What you celebrate, you repeat. So if you continue to celebrate the faithfulness of God, I think you're going to continue to experience the faithfulness of God. If you're one of those people that celebrates all the low moments, I think you're going to continue having some low moments. It's just a change of how your mind thinks. I'm going to dwell, I'm going to set my hopes on the things that are above. Can we look at our very first altar building dude? His name was Moses in Genesis chapter 8. Moses, Genesis chapter 8. This is our very first altar builder of the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 8, verse 13. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from the earth. So Noah has built the ark. He put all the animals in it. The rain came, covered up the whole planet, and he bobbed around in the ocean for a while. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. He must have been thrilled. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing. I would have left the creeping things. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you and all of the flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. Verse 18. So Noah went out and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every, again, creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Commentaries suggest that Noah didn't build this altar right after landing, that actually a gap of time took place. The ark didn't just settle. He didn't just unload everyone and then just sacrifice animals. Because if he did do that, then he just made a whole species extinct, you know? Like, imagine you're one of those animals. Like, I just put up with the flood, and now the flood's over. I get to go and be fruitful and multiply. I'm super excited about that. And then Noah says, come on over here. You are our first sacrifice. You're like, this flood was the worst thing ever. I was so close to freedom. But commentary suggests that actually many years took place between that and before Noah goes and he builds this altar. And here's the principle that I think is really important for us. Noah, he pondered and he celebrated God's past intervention. He wanted to keep God's interaction central to his life. So years go by from the flood. Years go by from the flood, and all sorts of craziness happens after the flood. But Noah wanted to make sure that he was reminding himself of God's past faithfulness. Too many times I get so busy with the here and now, I forget to fuel myself with the past faithfulness of God. I get consumed. I get overwhelmed with the things I got to do today and tomorrow and the next week. I get consumed with where am I going to be? What am I going to be doing? How are people going to respond to me? That I forget to think back and say, man, but God did a miracle. He did a miracle. And God deserves my attention and my time, that I'm going to pause my busyness and I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to build a monument. I'm going to pause all the things I'm doing to reflect on who he is. Because if I don't have it in right order, everything that I do doesn't matter anymore because I do it without him. If you think about Noah's story, there was an awful lot to celebrate. Him and his family were spared. But, you know, God gave him the vision. He gave him the strategy. He gave him the determination. He gave him the courage. And God does a miracle. And in light of God's intervention, Noah builds an altar and he makes a sacrifice. Well, my question for us today is, how in the world do we take this Old Testament principle of altar building, memorial building, and practice it today? Because I believe that everything in God's word is relevant and applicable and helpful and corrects and teachable for us. It's for our instruction. So how do we take this principle of altar building and do it today? Now, if you decide to go home and build an altar, Carlos, in your front yard, just build a cool altar, you will become that guy on the street with an altar in your front yard. I don't know if you want to be that person. So I don't think it's wise that we go home and build altars, okay? I don't think that's what the principle is. But in some way, we need to take special inventory of God's intervention in our lives and kind of place a marker there. And it's a new year. You have the freedom to do this. You can say, I'm going to start putting markers in my past where God showed up, because it's going to give me direction for the future for my life. Yeah. See, when I start to do that and I start to connect the dots of God's faithfulness in my life, I start seeing this trajectory of where my life is going. If I don't do that, then I start building my trajectory down that direction. And that's not where I'm going. That's not the good things that God has for me. That's not the good thing God has for you. See, we all need just carry Lewis in our pocket in the day. Can someone, I'm buying that domain name. The author of Hebrews tells us that we don't need sacrificial altars anymore because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. It's kind of like Jesus comes and just, he says, that's, you don't got to get dirty doing that anymore. I got dirty for you, so you don't have to do that anymore. But this is what Hebrews says, Hebrews 13, it says this, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. You don't have to sacrifice your neighbor's cat. Cat lovers are like, you don't have to sacrifice an animal to be pleasing to God. The aroma of that sacrifice is not a sweet smell to him. The aroma of your praise is the sacrifice that he looks for. So through faith in Jesus, we make up a different sacrifice. Through faith in Jesus, we bring a different offering. Worshiping God, doing good, being generous, celebrating his faithfulness. Those are all ways that we offer a sacrifice. Instead of our lives just having an intersecting moment with God, and we talked about this earlier where the human and the divine overlap, and those are altar building moments through faith. And because of Jesus and faith in Jesus, we are now found in Christ. Our life doesn't look like an overlapping momentary thing, but your life is found in Christ. Your identity is no longer in any way separate from who God is. It's fully intertwined with who he is. When you've put your faith in Jesus, you've said, my life is surrendered, every single part of it. And through faith and in Christ, that's where I found my life. But don't just take my word for it. 1 Corinthians, I have a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says this, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit, very Spirit of God, is not far from you. It's in you. It's not something we visit. It's something we just tap into that you're already plugged into, that you need to become more aware of. God's Spirit is alive and well inside of you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, remember the altar I built there? You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. See, what we can see is that as our worship of God has been transformed throughout the writing of the Bible, that through Jesus, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the carriers of God's goodness. You don't visit the goodness of God. It's in you. Yeah, you live it. Thank you, Carlos. You are living stones. You're not dead stones. It says you're chosen and you're precious. Can you just turn to someone and say, you're chosen, you're precious? A lot of dudes are like, no one's told me I'm precious in a long time. I'm actually offended at being precious. Can the band come on up? So I want to start 2018 where I want to finish 2018, right at the altar. I want to start this year optimistic, not pessimistic about the future. I want to start this new year full of hope, not full of shame. I want to start this new year anticipating the great things that God is going to do, not anticipating my failures. You see, I think we have a choice to make. Where are you going to hang your hope? Where are you going to hang your hope? You want to hang your hope on your disappointments? You will reap disappointments. You want to hang your hope on God's faithfulness? You'll experience his faithfulness. I mean, I can only say this because I've done it the other way too. But we're going to close today's service, and this is going to be a little bit different from us, but I'm going to invite you to have altar time. Some of us need to come to the altar. Some of us need to humble ourselves and get up out of our seat, and you need to come to the altar. Carlos is already on his way. Some of you, you just need to make that kind of commitment in your heart, say that, you know what, I want to start this year because I have hope that I'm going to end it up here at the end of this year. Come on forward if you want to. We're going to sing this song, and you don't have to get up out of your pew, but sometimes you have to do something with your feet because it corresponds with what's going on in your mind and in your heart. Sometimes I don't like being made uncomfortable, and I don't like being made pulled out of my comfort zone, but I want to be uncomfortable for Jesus sometimes. If you can't be made uncomfortable here in our safe little church, then you are very uncomfortable everywhere else. So we're going to sing a song, and even if you're sitting in your pew, I get it. Your knees are bad. I get it. I'm old too. But can we just have a minute where we just reflect on God's faithfulness? Can you just close your eyes with me and just ponder the good things that God has done, how he's intervened, how he's rescued you. For some of you, God has set you free from addiction. For some of you, he's restored your marriage. He's mended your broken heart. Some of you have grieved significant grief, and God has met you right there. So as we sing this song, I just want you to spend some time with Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. He's the one that we're here to meet today. So Jesus, we come this morning to the altar to give you all praise and all adoration because you're worthy. You're so worthy of every part of our lives. And God, at the altar, we can come and we can bring our brokenness. So every part of us, it's broken and tainted and distorted from its intended reality. God, we can bring the broken stuff in front of you. You can make all things new. So God, for every mind, every heart that is responding today, that God, I pray that you would make all things new in their lives. You'd give them new vision, new perspective, new purpose for their lives. And God, as we come to the altar today, we're saying, I'm coming back to what worship really means. I'm coming back to sacrificing my life again for you, Jesus. After all you've given, my adequate response is to surrender everything I am for you. And we could put off our old self and put on this new self. So God, would you clothe us with your righteousness, with your holiness? I pray that this would be a year of holiness for some of us. That we would walk out of a childlike attitude into a maturity. So Holy Spirit, grow something new inside of us, that we would walk away from this, the old things that defined us, and step into the new things that you have for us. God, I pray for every marriage this year that it would be restored and healthy and strong. I pray for every sickness, every body that's broken, that would experience your miraculous power afresh.
Yes, Lord.
Every mind that's depressed and scared and full of shame, would it come into alignment with the mind of Christ?
Come on, yes, God.
God, I pray for every child that they would come to put their faith in you. Every finance, God, that it would add up. Every debt that it would be paid. Every insecurity that would be broken. Well, does anybody feel a little bit more optimistic about your new year? Shake off some of the last year and jump into this new year. I think God has good things for every single one of you this year. God has great new opportunities, great new blessings, great new challenges that he's going to walk with you through. So as we leave this place, let's be the church. Like, let's just be the church as we go. Amen? Be the church. Good to see you. See you next Sunday.